We continue the meditation. One day, when I was at adoration, and my spirit seemed to be dying for him, and I could no longer hold back my tears, I saw a spirit of great beauty who spoke these words to me. "Don't cry," says the Lord. After a moment, I asked, "Who are you?" He answered me, "I'm one of the seven spirits who stand before the throne of God day and night and give him ceaseless praise, Archangel." Yet this spirit did not soothe my yearning, but roused me to even greater longing for God. The spirit is very beautiful, and its beauty comes from close union with God. So whenever your heart is close to Jesus, you will look beautiful. If you don't, because your heart is far away from the Lord. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yes. Very important to be beautiful, right?
Yes.
There's more important to be close to the Lord. Not just to do facial. That's enough. This spirit does not leave me for a single moment, but accompanies me everywhere. Yeah, our guardian angel also, no? Accompany us. All, no matter where we go, you know. On the following day, during Holy Mass, before the elevation, this spirit began to sing these words, "Holy, holy, holy." His voice was like that of a thousand voices. It is impossible to put it into words. Certainly, my spirit was united with God, and in that instant, I saw the grandeur and the inconceivable holiness of God, and at the same time, I realized the nothingness I am of myself. By the time we consider ourselves nothing, the time we are really close to the Lord. If still we consider ourselves important, solid, important center of the world, you're still far from the Lord. So don't get disappointed. Just come closer to the Lord. I knew more distinctly than ever before the three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But their being, their equality, and their majesty are one. My soul is in communion with these three, but I do not know how to express this in words. Yet my soul understands it well. Whoever is united to one of the three persons is thereby united to the whole Blessed Trinity. For this oneness is indivisible. So if you say, "Jesus, I love you," also you say the same meaning, love God the Father and the Holy Spirit. This vision, or rather this knowledge, filled my soul with unimaginable happiness. Because God is so great. What I'm describing, I do not see with my eyes, as on previous occasions, but in a purely interior manner, in a purely spiritual way, independent of senses. This continued the end of the Holy Mass. So the whole Mass, she was in heaven. She was with one with the Holy, the Blessed Trinity. This now happens often to me, and not only in the chapel, but also at work, and at times when I least expect it. So, because she was yearning to be close to the Lord, no, that's important. If you don't think of the Lord, and don't think miracles comes in. But you want to. Even in the kitchen, you can see Jesus. Do you agree? Do you ever experience the closeness of the Lord in the kitchen? That's beautiful, huh? When I confessed that Father Sopoku was away, I confessed to the Archbishop Jaroslav Dabrowski. When I revealed my soul to him, I received this reply. My daughter, arm yourself with great patience. If these things come from God, they will be realized sooner or later. So be completely at peace, because by that time, not all people believed in her. So people is doubtful about her experience. The Archbishop continued, I understand you very well in this matter, my daughter. And now, as regards your leaving the congregation and thinking of another one, do not entertain such thoughts, for this would be a serious interior temptation. She was thinking Jesus asked her to establish another congregation, because in the beginning, she found out this congregation doesn't pray in love. She wants her complete congregation 24 hours praying all the time. You know, the simplicity of her heart. So she thinks Jesus asked her to start a new congregation. After this confession, I said to the Lord Jesus, why do you command me to do such things and yet don't make it possible to accomplish them? So she is still holding her idea that's come from the Lord. Even her spiritual director, the Archbishop tell her, telling her that's not the idea, but she's still continuing, Lord, why don't you give me the strength? Then I saw the Lord Jesus after Holy Communion in the same way in which he is represented in the image. The Lord said to me, do not be sad. I will give him to understand the things I'm asking to you. When we were leaving, the Archbishop was very busy, but he told us to return and wait a bit. When he entered the chapel again, I heard these words in my soul. Tell him what you have seen in this chapel. At that very moment, the Archbishop came in and asked if we did not have something to tell him. Something missing, eh? Should he come back? But although I had been commanded to tell him, I could not do so, because I was in the company of one of the sisters. So she's not so free. One more word from the Holy Confessor, for the Holy Confession. To entreat mercy for the world is a great and beautiful idea. Pray much, sister. Pray for mercy upon sinners, but do it in your own convent. The class bishop says, in your own convent. Don't go out. The following day, Friday, September 13, 1935, in the evening, when I was in my cell, I saw an angel, the executor of divine wrath. He was clothed in a dazzling robe, his face gloriously bright, a cloud beneath his feet. From the cloud, bolts of thunder and flashes of lightnings were springing into his hand. And from his hand, they were going forth. Only then were they striking the earth. when I saw this sign of divine wrath, which is about to strike the earth in a particular, a certain place, which for good reasons I cannot name, she knows. I began to implore the angel to hold off for a few moments, and the world would do penance. But my plea was a mere nothing in the face of the divine anger. Just then, I saw the Most Holy Trinity. The greatness of His Majesty pierced me deeply, and I did not dare to repeat my entreaties. At that very moment, I felt in my soul the power of Jesus' grace, which dwells in my soul. When I became conscious of this grace, I was instantly snatched up before the throne of God. Oh, how great is our Lord and God, and how incomprehensible His holiness. I will make no attempt to describe this greatness, because before long, we shall all see Him as He is. I found myself pleading with God for the world with words heard interiorly. As I was praying in this manner, I saw the angel's helplessness. He could not carry out the just punishment which was rightly due for his sins. Never before had I prayed with such inner power as I did then. She was praying for the world because the angel, going to punish the world. The words with which I entreated God are these. She was praying. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us. That's a prayer we pray every time. Right? After the chant, this is the prayer. And this is the sources. She was praying this way, so the angel stopped punishing the world. With the help of divine mercy, we have to entrust the whole world to Him. Otherwise, if nobody prays for the world, this justice of the world. But see, we are one with the family, although we are different people, although we don't have sin maybe as much as the others, doesn't matter. We are one family, so we pray for the family, and Jesus listened. The next morning, when I entered chapel, I heard these words in theory. Every time you enter the chapel, immediately recite a prayer which I taught you yesterday. That's the same prayer. Father, for you, the body and blood, soul and divinity, beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of the sorrowful passion. So try to have these words in your pocket if you don't can receive. I have to read. I cannot memorize all things. But you can, every time you come to church, pray for this. Now Jesus asks, will you? Do you remember this? For you it's simple, but for me it's difficult. Even in Chinese, sometimes I forgot how to, I have to continuously, then I know how to recite, otherwise I cannot. That's interior voice, telling her to do so. When I had said the prayer in my soul, I heard these words. This prayer will serve to appease my wrath. Jesus says, His wrath. His anger. You will recite it for 9 days on the beads of the rosary in the following manner. First of all, you will say one Our Father and Hail Mary and I believe in God. Then on the Our Father beads, you will say the following words. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood and soul and divinity of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins, and those of the whole world. On the Hail Mary beats, you will see the following words: for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. In conclusion, three times you recite these words: Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Mortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. So you see, there's its origin, 1935. So we have the resources. The first time I read, the first time I know, I just bought in the pamphlet, but I don't know when he started. No. Silence is a word in a spiritual struggle. Silence. Talkative soul will therefore attain sanctity. Holiness comes from silence. There's our Heavenly Mother kept things in her heart. No gossips. Never. Silence in the heart. Sanctity. So you say you want to be holy. And there's no holiness. There's a motorcycle. The sword of silence will cut off everything that would like to cling to the soul. You know, we are sensitive to words and quickly want to answer back without taking any regards as to whether it is God's will that we should speak. We're too fast, responding too fast. Just like to show the cuts. A silent soul is strong. No adversities will harm it if it perseveres in silence. Jesus was silent. That's why the soldier gave him a slap. And Jesus asked, why should you slap me? Because he keep silence. Arouse the anger of the other person. But the silent soul is capable of attaining the closest union with God. It lives almost always under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Many times we don't hear anything from the Lord because you're not silent enough. You say, I ask many times. And after praying, and all the minds flying in the clouds. How can you have the Holy Spirit? How can you have the words of the Holy Spirit? God works in a silent soul without hindrance. Silent soul. Not only the mouth, your heart also. Don't judge. Although you don't say any things, but your heart is judging me. No good. Anything. Oh my Jesus, you know, you alone know too well that my heart knows no other love but you. All my virgin love is drowned eternally in you. Oh Jesus, I sense keenly how your divine blood is circulating in my heart. I have not the least doubt that your most pure love has entered my heart with your most sacred blood. I'm aware that you are dwelling in me together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Or rather, I'm aware that it is I who am living in you, O incomprehensible God. I'm aware that I'm dissolving in you like a drop in an ocean. A drop of water in the ocean. That's another idea of Teresa of Lisieux, that she imagined herself like a drop of water in the ocean. She lost herself. Just one with the Lord. I'm aware that you are within me and all about me, that you are in all things that surround me, in all that happens to me. Oh my God, I've come to know you within my heart, and I've loved you above all things that exist on earth or in heaven. Our hearts have a mutual understanding, and no one, humankind, will comprehend it. My second confession to the Archbishop, his words, "No, my daughter, that if this is the will of God, it will take place sooner or later. For God's will must be done. Love God in your heart." September 29th, the feast of St. Michael the Archangel. That's the archangel, not the one, you know, taking over the devil from, "I've become interiorly united with God. His presence penetrates me to my very depths and fills me with peace, joy, and amazement. After such moments of prayer, I'm filled with strength and extraordinary courage to suffer and struggle." So all these graces helped you to be strong in suffering, you know, not that you are already in heaven, not yet. "Nothing terrifies me, even if the whole world should turn against me. All adversities touch only the surface, but they have no entry to the depths, because God, who strengthens me, who fills me, dwells there. If you have God, don't be afraid of the devil. All the snares of the enemy are crushed at his footstool. During these moments of union, God sustains me with might. His might passes on to me. It makes me capable of loving him. I so never reaches this state by his own effort. At the beginning of the interior grace, I was filled with fright, and I started to give in to it. But very quickly, the Lord let me know how much this displeases him. But it is also he himself who set my fears at rest. Almost every feast of the church gives me a deeper knowledge of God and a special grace. That is why I prepare myself for each feast and unite myself closely with the spirit of the church." So this is our Wednesday, fourth Sunday, one with the church to celebrate. What a joy it is to be a faithful child of the church. Oh, how much I love Holy Church and all those who live in it. I look upon them as living members of Christ, who is their head. I burn with love with those who love. I suffer with those who suffer. I'm consumed with sorrow at the sight of those who are cold and ungrateful. And I then try to have such a love for God that will make amends for those who do not love him. Those who feed the Savior with ingratitude at his worst. So we do sometimes some of the sufferings we offer for the sake of the world, you know. We are one family. So just pray.